Welcome to Altitudes, a podcast from Etihad about how the world is defined by travel and the people that are defining travel's future. I'm your host, James Sanderson. People around the world have never been more conscious of their own health when it comes to travel. So much so that it made some of us realize how little we know about the effects that flying has on our bodies. Joining us today to help answer some of our most pressing questions is Dr. Nadia Bastecki. Dr. Nadia is Vice President of Medical Services for Etihad Aviation Group and the first Emirati woman to be registered as a specialist in aviation medicine. Dr. Nadia is an expert in the effects flying has on the human body and will offer her advice on how to stay healthy while traveling. Dr. Nadia, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'll jump straight in. As we know, a lot of people right now are very conscious of their health and their bodies, especially when it comes to travel. To be perfectly honest, it's not something that I even thought about too much before all of this. So before we get into anything too heavy, let's start at the beginning. Takeoff. What exactly do our bodies experience when we take off on a plane?
I mean, it's very important to understand the mode of travel. And as we have moved now to the best aircraft with the best modern equipment, we're still traveling at altitude and we're still using a machine. And flying has become so easy that a lot of people think it's like car travel or train travel, because we still need to understand there is an element of altitude physiology involved. And our human bodies are really good in compensating a lot of things. And when we're talking about aviation and the aircraft, we need to look at a couple of components. One is a cabin environment. The reason the cabin environment is created in this way is because we pressurize the cabin. As we move 10,000 feet and above, there are certain changes. One is the pressure, one is the oxygen level. And as there are changes in the environment, we make sure that the cabin is same as at sea level.
So I suppose that's why our ears pop during takeoff.
There are certain cavities in our bodies, our sinuses and middle ear. And if there are some air, it will expand as the pressure outside is different than the pressure inside the body. So that's why Boyle's law, if you go to physiology, that there will be an expansion of the gas. You might feel your ears popping, and that's because of the cavity that we have in the middle ear.
So if someone is struggling to clear their blocked ears, which isn't uncommon, what would you recommend?
The best way to treat it is to do the maneuver that can move your jaw like in a chewing mechanism. And that helps reduce the ear pressure that you will get sometimes with takeoff. For kids and infants, we always say feed them. If you have a bottle next to them, feed them with milk. If you have young infants, try to feed them with a bottle. And if you have toddlers and above, we ask them to give them something so they can chew, like a sweet or anything like that, to increase the jaw movement and ease the pressure on the ears.
Another thing that's common to feel during takeoff is a sinking feeling, like you're almost sinking into your seat. What's happening there?
So most probably inertia. Of course, if you're in a fighter jet, you would feel that more. But because we are in a big aircraft and with a lot of seats, you will feel a bit of sinking because of the changes of speed as we move through altitude. And this is what brings you, your body a bit back and sunken, because we want to reach to a certain altitude before we have a plateau. So that's where you're feeling that the acceleration forces are coming opposite to you and your body is gravitating downwards. All physiology and physics.
So we know in medicine that there are many different areas that can be focused on. What drew you towards wanting to focus on aviation as a medical practitioner?
I think it's the uniqueness of the whole specialty, and a lot of people don't know that there is an element of medicine that lies into aviation. And that was my trigger, because I always wanted to look for something unique and different. And that would drive me to actually go more and explore aviation. I even did my PPL. So that gave me a more understanding of how pilots, passengers, cabin crew feel. So when I treat those people, I understand what they're feeling when they're flying as well.
You said you have a PPL. What exactly is that?
This is the private pilot license. It was an amazing experience.
Very cool. What was learning to fly like?
You do it in a smaller aircraft. It's like a Cessna. It was good as a physician, as someone who is actually specializing in this field, to understand what goes through the pilot's head while operating an aircraft, what challenges, how to maneuver the aircraft, how to manage communication between the aircraft team and the ground. So it was multiple things that I learned, not only the skill of flying, but it was other things that gave me the entire image of that specialty.
Exactly how many medical doctors around the world would you say have specialized in aviation like you have?
It's very few. It's a niche group of people who are aviation specialists around the world, and very small group of those people who are then either having their private pilot license or have done anything related to aviation. So you're kind of lucky that you have both worlds with you.
Let's move to in-flight. Does flying at different altitudes affect your body differently?
Of course, if you are not on a pressurized cabin, it would have affected separately. But what we tend to do is we pressurize the cabin within 10,000 feet. So you're always feeling that you're at that level. Even if we did go higher, we would be at 10,000 feet because of the pressurized cabin. So of course, if you were in a fighter jet or you were in different type of aircrafts, that would give you more sense of everything else we were talking about: less oxygen, less pressure, less humidity, more cold weather, etc. But because we're a pressurized cabin, you don't feel anything.
You always hear recommendations to wear comfortable and loose clothing during a flight. Is there a medical reason for this? And do things like fabric matter?
I think, first of all, we look at it as comfort. And we recommend people to always wear loose clothing because it's easier to move around. You're not restricting yourself or your body. And it's very important to take into consideration that if you are traveling for more than 7 hours in a confined space, if you have a predisposing factor, you are at a higher risk for DVTs. So we need to make sure that you are always in comfortable clothes, not very tight clothing, and that you are moving around and that you're not confining your body. It's good for you to move around. And that is the basis of why we tell people wear comfortable clothes, because it's easy for you to move around. And that's what we want to encourage, because we don't want you to be limited to one confined space.
So you mentioned DVT just now. A lot of us have heard about DVT in recent years. What exactly is DVT?
So DVT is deep venous thrombosis. It's just like a block in your veins. A lot of people who have pre-existing medical conditions or taking certain medications or are pregnant or who have fractures are predisposed to deep venous thrombosis. So we need to make sure that you are always moving your legs and limbs and moving around the aircraft to avoid this type of situations.
So what kind of clothes would you recommend people wear when they fly?
I think what I always tell people when they're traveling is to layer up. And whenever you're hot, you can remove one layer. Whenever you're cold, you put the layer back. It's also good for sweating, because when you sweat, you can remove. If you have one set of clothing, it's more difficult for you to kind of manage that. And that's why, but it doesn't really matter whether you wear cotton or linen or what, but it depends what you as your body and skin is comfortable in. A lot of people prefer linen and cottons because it's air permeable, so the air goes easily into it. There's more air circulation. And when you're layering, that also helps air circulation.
So let's talk about hydration for a moment. We always hear about the importance of drinking water during a flight. Why is that?
So very good question. A lot of people say, you know, I feel dehydrated, I'm getting dehydrated. So it's important to understand, as we move up in altitude, humidity decreases. And yes, we have pressurized the cabin, but the cabin humidity is always between 6 to 10%, whether at sea level or at ground level is around 20%. So you feel kind of a dry air, dryness in the air. So the first thing what happens is you feel that there is like any mucosal level, your lacrimal glands and your eyes feel drier than usual. And if people have dryness in their eyes, they'll feel it more because the air is dry. Your throat is the same. So you'll feel you're actually breathing a drier air than what you breathe. So you feel thirsty. You feel that you have like a thirst, but it's not centralized dehydration. So what happens is the dryness makes your skin a bit drier than usual, and also your throat a bit dry, so you feel thirsty, you want to drink water, and even your eyes. So that's why people who have dryness in the eyes usually will feel it more, because the ambient air is dry. So that's why dehydration is linked to it.
What about the effects of alcohol? Are the effects different in flight?
Well, there were a lot of studies in terms of alcohol effects and altitude. A lot of people's myths say, oh, if you have alcohol in the air, you'll become drunk easily. But it's actually the same. It depends on type of alcohol and the amount of alcohol and mixing of alcohol. If you mix wine with harder spirits, that will give you a cognitive performance change and will give you a more drunken state. Then, of course, lack of water and alcohol will give you a different effect. So it depends on you, your body, your sex, either you're female or male. It depends on your metabolism system, but how alcohol metabolizes in the air versus how it will metabolize in the ground, it will be the same.
I've seen a lot of influencers on Instagram sharing their in-flight skincare routines. What would be the Dr. Nadia in-flight skincare routine?
I would definitely recommend not to have any makeup on the aircraft, because the more layering you have, the dryness of the weather will make your skin further dry. And also always use a moisturizer, making sure that you prevent the dryness that might happen. Not everybody experiences it, but also a lot of people will feel it because of the atmosphere. So a proper moisturizer and nothing extra into your eyes. Definitely no lenses, because the more you wear the lens, the dryness increases. And a lot of people might doze off and sleep with the lens, and the dryness can cause aberrations of the cornea. So make sure you wear your glasses and just moisturize.
In truth, most of us stay pretty much immobile during a long-haul flight, either sleeping, eating, or watching movies. How important is exercise while flying? And what would you recommend in terms of an exercise routine in flight?
If you're in a long-haul flight, is just make sure that you have one or two trips to the toilet, because walking is really good. Of course, the other things, if you're kind of limited and you don't really want to hustle, just make sure that your limbs are in constant movement. And then we're talking about your feet. If you can rotate it at an angle of 180, 90 degrees, and then just rotate it backwards, forwards, and then at the angle of 30 or 90 degrees as well. And that gives you a good circulation on your feet. And then you talk about your upper feet. So just, you know, bending movements of your knee, just bend them a bit, stretch your legs, bend them again, stretch your legs. That would be good as well. For your back, we always recommend, again, to move on the left side, keep your body still, and then move on the right and move on the left, so that you are stretching it a bit. And same thing, we tell you, extend your arms and then shift it towards the right and shift it towards the left. So here you did a full stretching exercise, and this is where you're just on your seat. Of course, you want to be more dramatic. You can start moving your legs up and down or doing the steps movements, but just small movements are necessary. So you don't have to complicate things. Don't have to be fancy about it. Just small movements that move your limbs and upper arms.
As we record this, we're still very much in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, and there's probably some people listening right now that have been reluctant to travel. So to put their minds at ease, or maybe to educate people a little bit better, what are the chances of contracting something like COVID-19 when flying?
It's a very good question. Since we have now lived with corona for the last 8 months, and there's a lot of studies out there, and the recent studies that IATA released say that 1 in 27 million. So that is very good statistics. And the reason of that is many elements. You need to understand the way the air circulates in the aircraft and the HEPA filters that we have. We are having air exchange every 3 to 5 minutes. It never happens in any building, office, mall. It's very unique to the aircraft. Second thing, when the air circulates, it goes through something called the HEPA filters. These filters are only available in a surgery room. And the reason those HEPA filters are in surgery or operating theaters is because it kills any bacteria or viruses that goes in the air. And that's the reason why the transmission of any communicable disease is less in the aircraft versus anywhere else you would find in the ground.
And we know Etihad and a lot of other major airlines have put lots of safety measures in place right now, including mandatory PCR testing before travel.
We have introduced multiple layers of protection and well-being. It starts from the time you start booking your trip. When you purchase your ticket, you get a questionnaire that you can fill in and gives you an indication, red, green, or amber. Are you okay to travel or not? And then when you reach to the check-in, we do the procedures. Even before you reach to the check-in, we make sure that all of the passengers get their PCR test within 96 hours of their flight. And when you reach check-in, we ensure that you get also another pre-flight check. And once that all is over, you get into the aircraft, we ensure that all our crew are always tested. And we also have certain safety measures that we've asked the passengers to take. Our toilets are regularly cleaned every hour. When you receive your food, it's all covered or packed. Also, the people behind preparing the catering meals, we are ensured that they are regularly tested. They're tested on a daily basis. We ensure that all the safety measures are taken. We also do a lot of swabs on surfaces of our aircraft, in the airport, and also in the catering. All the measures that we take today is all for the well-being of our passengers. And with all these measures, we have seen no in-flight transmission. And all these things really help us. So today, when I talk about passengers flying Etihad, I'm confident we ensured that we look at every angle. We did risk assessments across and making sure that the safety and well-being of our passengers is our priority.
We've covered a lot of different health topics today. So with all of this in mind, what would you recommend to people who are looking to travel anytime soon? What is the Dr. Nadia checklist to get them prepared for a long flight?
So always prepare in advance, have a checklist in place, making sure that all the arrangements are done at least 3 to 5 days before flying. And when you're preparing for flight, making sure that you're choosing comfortable clothing, comfortable shoes that you can remove. A lot of people would then tend to wear heels and shoes that are not comfortable, thinking that, you know, I'm just going to sit in the aircraft. But don't forget the long journey that you'll have in the airport as well. Layering clothes or extra clothes, making sure you have your hydration creams, you're drinking enough, you're not skipping your meals, and making sure you, if you have any medication, you take it in your hand luggage and don't forget it in your luggage. And of course, if you're not feeling well any time during the journey, the earlier you inform us, the better we can take care of you. So if you're not feeling well as you check in, inform our check-in staff. We can do a quick assessment for you. If you're not feeling well as you are sitting in the cabin just before takeoff, let us know, because then we can help you even further. And also during the flight, please ensure that you speak to our cabin crew, because all of cabin crew are trained. They understand the procedure. Not only that, we have links to a 24-hour doctor service, and we also have extended medical equipment that we can use on board. So all these things really help your journey from point A to point B, but make sure that you let us know in advance so we can give you that help that you require.
Dr. Nadia, this has been a fascinating conversation. I'm sure a lot of people will enjoy listening to this. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.